the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. To your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. You're a saint. Sometimes people will use that expression in casual language, right? You're a saint. Maybe you helped out someone who was in need. Maybe you showed kindness to someone who was struggling. Maybe you were nice for no reason at all. Maybe they just like the way you look, like the way you dress, or marvel at the patience you showed in a difficult situation. But whatever the case is, in casual language in our society, people will say, "You're a saint." And because people use that expression in casual language, "You're a saint," maybe, as we observe All Saints' Day this morning, maybe that term saint is watered down ever so slightly in our minds. For when we talk about the saints today, we're not just talking about good people, nice people, or people who show an extraordinary amount of patience. But when we talk about the saints, when boldly and confidently I can look at you in the eye and say, "You actually are a saint," what do we mean? We mean that you are a holy person. That's the definition of a saint. A saint is someone who is holy. And how is that possible? How can you be a holy person, a saint? Well, obviously, it's all because of Jesus. You know that. For on your own, you are not a saint. On your own, you are not a holy person. On your own, you're the farthest thing from it. You're a sinner. You have been from the moment you were conceived and born in this world. And you prove it every day by the way you act, by the words you say, by the thoughts you have. Everyone does. In fact, that's why the world has to redefine what a saint actually is. For the world knows that no one can be completely perfect, can be completely holy on their own. And so they redefine the word saint to mean a good person, a nice person, or a person who shows a lot of patience. It's the only way that this world can use the term saint. But that's not the case here in church. We don't have to redefine the word. I can look at you, each of you, and say, "You're a saint. You're holy. You're perfect." And I actually mean it. See, all of you have been washed in the blood of Christ, which he shed for you when he died on Calvary's cross. And since you have been washed in the blood of your Savior Jesus through holy baptism, all your sins really are removed from you. They're separated as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. And so truly, you really are a saint. That's how God views you through Jesus. He views you as a saint, and it's how you can view yourself through Jesus. You can view yourself as a saint, and if you still struggle to think of yourself as a saint, as someone who is holy, well, you need to look no further than the words of our text from Hebrews chapter 11 and all the names listed here. For if you don't know, Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter of the Bible, the great heroes of faith. It's like an Old Testament Hall of Fame, listing name after name after name and all of their accomplishments. And while when they start off with names like Noah, who endured the flood, or Abraham, who believed the promise that he would have a child in his old age, or Moses, who led the people of Israel out on dry ground, while when they start with those names, maybe we get the impression that to be a saint, you have to do something great and glorious, because those saints clearly did great and glorious things. That idea is actually thrown out the window when we get to the names at the end of the chapter, the names that are listed in our text. For Barak and Gideon were both judges who sometimes showed a pretty weak faith. Jephthah and Samson were worse. While they won great victories, they also committed some pretty atrocious sins. And King David has perhaps the most well-known sin in all the scriptures in his interaction with Bathsheba and her first husband, Uriah. And so let's not think that these heroes are listed here because they were able to conquer kingdoms or carry out justice on their own. Let's not think that we respect and honor these heroes because somehow they found a way on their own to shut the mouths of lions or escape the edges of a sword. Let's not think that these men are listed in the Hall of Fame because they caused foreign armies to flee or conquered kingdoms. Rather, every name in Hebrews chapter 11, this great Hall of Fame in the Old Testament, every name is there for one reason and one reason only. It's because they trusted in the promise of a Savior. The promise of a Savior who would shed his blood. The promise of a Savior who would wash them in his blood and remove all their sins away. That's why these men are listed in this chapter. It's why they did the great things they did. They didn't do them to make themselves a saint. They were already a saint through the blood of Christ. Rather, they did these great things as proof that they were already a saint. They were already someone who has had their sins washed away. And do you know what? The same is true for you today. For make no mistake about it, if Hebrews chapter 11 was a hall of fame of both Old Testament Christians and New Testament Christians, your name could be listed right in this chapter. Your name can be listed right next to Noah or Abraham or Moses or Jephthah or Samson or King David. Because you're a saint, just like they are saints. You're washed in the blood of Christ, just as they were washed in the blood of Christ. And not only does that mean that all of your sins are removed from you forever, just as their sins were removed from them, but do you know what it also means? It also means that you get to perform some great and glorious deeds just like them. For all the good works that you perform in your vocation, whether it's as a mother, a father, a child, or as a student, or teacher, or worker, or boss, or as a friend, or as a citizen of this country, or as a member of Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church, any good work that you perform in that vocation, it is great and glorious in the eyes of God, just as great and glorious as what these saints in the Old Testament did. For you're a saint. You've been washed in the blood of Christ. And so it doesn't matter if you shut the mouth of lions and conquer foreign armies, or if you simply feed the mouth of your kids and conquer dinner time. That is a great and glorious deed in the eyes of your God. For you're a saint. And so all that you do to the glory of God is a great and glorious deed that could be listed in this chapter. That's pretty cool to think about, isn't it? Now, the world will say that's foolish, and why wouldn't they? The world doesn't understand Jesus. And if the world doesn't understand Jesus, how can they understand God's saints, since the only way we are made saints is through the blood of Jesus? And so instead of praising and rejoicing and honoring the saints of God, this sinful world, well, they're going to have the opposite reaction. The sinful world will actually hate and persecute the saints of God, because the sinful world recognizes that God's saints are different. They have a confidence about them that this world does not understand, and so they will attack the saints of God, all in an effort to try to conform them back to this their line of thinking. That's what this sinful world does. And that's actually brought out in this Heroes of Faith chapter. For let's go back to our text from Hebrews chapter 11. You might expect that the sinful world would rejoice in all of these great accomplishments that the Old Testament saints did. I mean, they shut the mouths of lions and conquered armies. That's quite amazing. But the sinful world didn't have that reaction to the saints. Instead, listen again to what happened to these saints of God in Old Testament. We read, some of them experienced mocking and lashes, in addition to chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were tempted. They were killed with the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins, needy, afflicted, and mistreated. Not exactly a hero's welcome. And if this is the way that this sinful world treated the saints of God in the Old Testament, well, should we expect the sinful world to treat us any different today? For let's be clear, being a saint, faithfully serving in your vocation, may not necessarily mean glory to you here on earth. Being a saint and faithfully fulfilling your vocation may not mean that you gain a lot of respect and honor here on earth. In fact, being a saint and faithfully fulfilling your vocation as you live in this sinful world may mean that you face some persecution. For this sinful world hated Jesus. And so it will hate all who cling to Jesus by faith. And while today, at least right now in this country, you may not get thrown to the lions or sawn in two as other saints have, I think we all should expect some persecution here in this world. You should expect some persecution if you live a Christian life on a college campus. You should expect some Christian persecution if you live your Christian life at your job. And you should expect some persecution if you're discussing politics from a Christian point of view. You see, the devil hates Christ, and he hates all who cling to Christ by faith, including you. He hates it when people cling to Christ for forgiveness. He hates it when people faithfully fulfill their vocations. And so he will do anything to pull you and the rest of the saints of God back under his control. And one of the favorite tools that the devil likes to use is persecution in this world. And so we should expect some mockings or some other persecution as we're saints of God living in this sinful world. But that's okay. That's not going to deter us. Why? We're saints of God. We're washed in the blood of Christ. Our sins are removed from us. And so we know that the goal of our life is not to be great and glorious on this side of eternity. But the glory of our life, or the goal of our life, is to receive glory for all eternity in heaven. That's always the goal of all of God's saints, including you. And to prove that, let's go back to our text one final time. Despite the struggles that all those names faced, struggles caused by their own sins, struggles caused by persecution from this sinful world, where are all these people now? They're in heaven. Barak and Gideon, Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel. Right now, they're experiencing perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect comfort. For even though they did not, quote, receive what was promised while they were here on this earth, as the writer to the Hebrews says, meaning that they did not see Jesus with their eyes since Jesus came after they had already died, Jesus still came for them. And Jesus died for them. And Jesus forgave them. And so Jesus came for them, and he took them home to heaven. And saints of God, that's what will happen to you one day as well. Despite the struggles that you may face here on earth, struggles from your own sins, struggles from persecution from a sinful world, One day you will go to the place of perfect peace and perfect joy and perfect comfort. For Jesus came into this world for you. And he died for you. And he has forgiven your sins by washing you clean in his blood. And right now, he is preparing a spot in heaven just for you. And whenever that spot in heaven is prepared, he will come back for you. And he will take you to that place where you will dwell with him and with all the saints of God forever. That's why there's nothing greater than hearing the phrase, "You're a saint." There's nothing greater than rejoicing that you have been washed in the blood of Christ, and so all your sins have been removed from you. For not only does that mean that you get to be different in this world of sin and do great and glorious things to the glory of God, but more than that, it means heaven is yours. And so one day you, as a saint of God, will go to heaven, where you will join Noah and Abraham and Moses and Samson and David and Jephthah and Gideon and your mom and dad and any of the others who have gone before you, and Jesus, for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in the bulletin.